Thank you, brother. Appreciate that song. Good to be here this morning. And if you're a visitor, let me say how delighted on behalf of the church we are that you're here. And I want to encourage you to come back because you'll get to hear Pastor Merrick. And as a guest, I know that, you want to hear the preacher. And so I encourage you to do that. You'll be blessed. This is a good church with some wonderful people. Every time we come, we are made to feel so welcome here. And this is the third revival this week, and also the Lonely Road Conference. What a unique blessing that has been. And I shared with several people over the year in different meetings where I've been, and again, just recently talked with a family that encouraged them to get here next year because it helps in such an amazing way with a lot of different areas. But I'll tell you, that's a great conference and a very unique conference, but a very needed conference. So we're thankful for that. And it's Friend Day. You know, I'm just so delighted when I think about the good Sunday school lesson, by the way. But what a blessing to realize what a friend we have in Jesus. I'm telling you, the best friend you'll ever have. When I was a teenager, my dad was a pastor, grew up in church. And, you know, it was on Sunday night, some of us teenage boys would get together sometimes and maybe go get a Coke after church or maybe a hamburger to wash down the Coke and things like that. But anyway, so one Sunday night, my dad was gone preaching revival, and I could tell something was different. I could hear a buzz among some of the guys, and I couldn't quite figure it out. And finally, one of them told me they weren't going after a Coke that night. One of the guys had stole a bottle of whiskey, and they were going to go out in the country and drink it. And they wanted me to go, and I said, I can't go. So why not? I said, I'm a Christian. They said, we're Christians too, but you only live once. And what if you go your whole life? Because I'd already surrendered to preach. I was already preaching back then. What if you go your whole life and you never get to try it? Man, you know God will understand. No, he won't understand. Now, I'm not going with you. I went home that night. And honestly, it broke my heart. Because I thought, you know, I'll be friendly to those guys, but we'll never have the same kind of friendship we had. They chose a path I couldn't go down. And not because I'm super spiritual. I just wanted to do the right thing. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't have a friend in the world. That wasn't true. I had the Lord as my friend. I had my family. But my dad called me later that week. This was before the days of cell phones. And so he said, hey, I'm bringing you a surprise. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting a new bike. I'm getting this. I'm getting that. My dad pulls up when he gets finished with that meeting, and my cousin Tom gets out of the car. That was my surprise. Tom came to live with us. Yay. I knew Tom was a... but what a new bike. I mean, let's be real. I knew Tom as a cousin, but we'd only see each other about once a year, but their school was going through some issues where he was at, and so Dad asked my aunt and uncle if he could just come and live with us. And but Tom had a heart for God and for the things of God, and so God knit our hearts together. I was still in public school at those time, and I went to school, and this guy came up to me. I was had stopped by the restroom to check my hair and when I had it. But anyway, this guy said to me, hey, there's a new guy at school. I think he's related to you. That's a large public school. I said, what makes you think he's related to me? He said, because he's carrying his Bible. I said, that's my cousin Tom. He just started here. He said, I knew you guys had to be related. And, you know, Tom and I were not perfect teenagers, but we tried to challenge each other to live for God. And I'll tell you, I'm thankful God gave me a great friend in my cousin Tom. Tom and I ended up marrying sisters. There were only two goad girls. I mean, two kids is what my in-laws had. They had two daughters, and I'm telling you, they were sweet, saintly young ladies, and they got me and Tom. You can imagine how brokenhearted their parents were. But anyway, they... And my cousin Tom had to step down from pastoring. He has frontal lobe dementia. He's 7 months younger than I am. And you say, well, he must be old. No, I'm not as old as I look. But anyway, Brother Tom had to step down from pastoring. And he calls me. We talk on the phone and tells me the stories. And most of them are the same. But, you know, I was thinking about the other day he called me. And he said, I had a dream that I went to heaven. He said, man, it was so precious. He said, my mother was there. And she came running up to greet me. My dad was there, came running up to greet me. My grandparents were there, my brother. They all came running up to greet me. He said, I looked over and here came my wife's parents. And he said, man, they come running over. And I thought, they're going to hug me. They're glad I'm here. And said, all of a sudden, her dad punched me in the nose. I fell on the ground. Her mother started kicking me. And the angel came over and said, you can't do that kind of stuff here. And he said, my father-in-law said, you don't understand. This is the bum that married our daughter. And I told him, I said, Tom, that's just a real glimpse of glory. It's probably going to be like that when you get there. But I'm thankful to have friends, and there's not a better friend than Jesus. And we're thankful for the privilege of being here. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, go to Psalm chapter 27, the 27th chapter of Psalm. And I want to begin reading in verse 1. We'll read this psalm. It's just 14 verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Father, bless now the reading of your word and have us today say only that which you want us to. And Lord, nothing more, nothing less. And we pray that you'll speak to hearts in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. The psalmist said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, we know from the Bible there is a great amount of times when the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord. It is a good thing to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in that regard and in that sense, we need to fear the Lord. You know, some people think the fear of the Lord is simply being afraid that God's just going to smack them down. But what a great reminder in Sunday school. Listen, when you know the Lord is your Savior, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to help you. He has a great desire to be a blessing to your life. But I think the fear of the Lord is, it's more than just being in awe of God. Some people talk about the fear of the Lord and being in awe of God, and I am in awe of God. But it's even more than that. I really think the fear of the Lord includes a conscious awareness of His presence everywhere I go. Now, I'd like to say that I always behaved myself when I was a boy, but that's not the case. But I can tell you I was smart enough to know that I should behave myself when my dad was in the room. You know, dad was there. You might just get caught if you acted up. Well, you know, when you're a child of God, if you're aware that He's with you everywhere, it just makes a whole difference in how we live, how we think. And boy, I'm glad to have the presence of the Lord with me. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But I want to talk to you. The psalmist is talking here about the kind of fear that we don't need to have. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Now, if you're saved this morning, if you're a child of God this morning, I want to preach to you on this thought, no need to fear. Now, I'm not talking about the arrogance of some in this world that say, you know, I don't fear God and I don't fear, you know, the future and I'm not afraid of hell. Listen, if you have that kind of mindset, listen, you won't be there 10 seconds till you realize that's a foolish way to think. But when I talk about no fear, child of God, if you're on the winning side, and we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us, we don't have to live in fear of what tomorrow holds. Listen, because we know who holds tomorrow. So just three things this morning I want to get to quickly. Number one, let's talk a little bit about the cause of fear. Sometimes if we're not careful in life, we get distracted by things that create a fear in our heart that really is unnecessary. The psalmist is talking about a time when the enemy's pursuing him, and we don't know. The Bible doesn't. Sometimes at the beginning of a psalms, it'll tell you exactly what David was going through, and David is given credit for this psalm, but we don't have the details as to what particular time David is going through here in Psalm 27. I will say this, that David's life was often a life that dealt with the pursuit of enemies, whether it was in his young years as a keeper of the sheep, and the enemies were like bears and lions, or when it was he was a soldier serving under Saul, and even when Saul became jealous and began to pursue him, even after he became king and his own son turned on him, David knew what it was like to have some enemies. He dealt with the Philistines. So David is talking about some things that's going on in his life where there's opposition. And you know, every one of us sooner or later are going to deal with opposition and obstacles in our life. But we don't have to live in fear because we know the Lord. So I think about the reason sometimes that we're afraid, the cause of fear. Maybe the perverseness of our society would cause some of us to fear. Now, I'm not a real old man, but I'm old enough to remember when things were not as crazy as they are today. You agree with me? Now, sin has always been around. And there have been ebb and flow in times of human history when things have gotten really bad, and then it seems like a revival would come. Even in America, we have known times in our history of what they would call awakenings, or the Great Awakening, or the Second Great Awakening, or maybe like a spiritual upturn in our country. But I'll tell you right now, sin is so prevalent everywhere you look. And it's not just that sin is going on, but our society is bold and very brazen about it, even to the point of just wanting to, everywhere you turn, it's like they just want to push it and promote it in such a way that you're thinking, wow, I never thought it would get this bad. That can create some fear if we're not careful. How about the pressure of economy? You know, they tell us all the time, it's the economy that's the issue. Well, there's more issues than that. Well, I'll tell you, sometimes people get worried. You know, if you listen to the news enough, or you read the news enough, or you turn your radio on and hear the news, I'm telling you, they want you to be afraid all the time. You know, I don't know that if you were to figure it out in percentage, what percentage of the news that's put out by the media is good, but it's not very much. They major on the, it's almost like they salivate. I don't mean this wrong. I like to know, for instance, if there's a tornado coming. But man, some of the weather people almost seem like they're thrilled beyond measure. Oh, this is a bad one. You know, it's like, what is wrong with these people? Yeah, boy. The last one we had was this percentage, but this one here is even bigger. So, man, and they act like they're delighted. You know, I'm thinking, you know, calm down a little bit. Make me, you know, comfortable. Tell me, hey, you got time to get to shelter, but don't be delighted that I might get blown away. But anyway, you know, sometimes the pressure of the economy, how about the perils of crime without proper punishment? Man, who'd have dreamed the day would come that somebody could kill people and get turned out without even spending a night in jail? It's just insane what's going on in our society. And I'm talking about some real deep crimes that are happening and the insanity of some of the things that are going on. And I believe this. I believe the majority of America looks at that and thinks, what are these people doing? Who in the world is making these decisions? And if we're not careful, we can live in fear. You know, when I was a kid, you know, we'd go outside and play and hardly give a thought to it. Now parents are a little bit nervous about if their children are outside for very long because of the crazy world we're living in. And the lack of punishment for those that are doing evil, it can create fear in your heart. Or how about the prevarication of political leaders? I don't mean this wrong, but politicians, I don't want to shock you this morning, but they've been known to lie. Vote for me and I'll tell you what I'll do for you. And boy, then it's like they forget all about us. And I'm not here to preach politics this morning. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. There's liars on both sides. There's criminals on both sides. There's drunkards and and ungodly people on both sides. I'm not trying to be, thank God for the statesmen that want to do right, but I'm telling you, they're few and far between, and it's like sometimes they get in power, and then they completely forget what it's all about. And we know that we have a good constitution here in America, but too often we've strayed from it until things are happening that just absolutely, if you didn't know the Lord, you'd think, how in the world are we going to survive? What else can bring fear? How about the parting from biblical truth in many pulpits? And there are churches today, and I say churches loosely, that are meeting and they've laid aside the Word of God. Or they've perverted the Word of God. Or they've tried to say, well, you know, as long as you believe in something, that'll take you to heaven. No, no, friend, it doesn't work like that. It's not, you know, as long as you have faith in something, it is a personal faith in someone, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus made it very clear when he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are not 10 ways to heaven. There aren't 2 ways to heaven. There's one, and that's Christ alone. And Jesus paid your sin debt at Calvary, died on your behalf, shed his blood in payment for our sins, and he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again according to the Scripture. And because of that, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And I want you to understand, if you're saved today by the grace of God, you've got the best friend you could ever have. But if you're not saved, that is the only hope you have of heaven. But because I'm a child of God, listen, I don't have to live in fear. But what breaks my heart when many today are changing the truth for whatever will draw a crowd. And listen, I like to preach to crowds. I'm glad people are here this morning. I wouldn't want to preach to an empty building. But can I tell you something? We don't want to lay aside truth in order to reach a crowd. And so such a need in this hour we're living in. What about the potential wars around us? Jesus said in the last days, there'd be wars and rumors of wars. Well, I'll tell you, it seems like everybody's concerned about it. We've got some real enemies out there in foreign countries and even here within our own country. And we hear about things happening in Russia and China and Iran and other places of the world and the Middle East and all the things that are going on. And it seems like every day I get somebody will email me something that says, you know, we're headed to World War III. And I don't know that, but I know this. I know that I'm on the Lord's side and He's on mine. And I don't have to live in fear. But there's a lot of things that can cause fear. Now, when I was a little boy, I was afraid of the dark. Did anybody else ever have that fear? And you'll admit it publicly. Man, I was afraid of the dark. You say, well, Brother Graham, you're a sissy. I had 5 sisters. Of course I feared the dark. 3 older and 2 younger. And they were all meaner than snakes, no doubt about it. Oh, they look good in church, but I'm telling you, I lived with them. And my sisters hate when I talk about them because they're like, oh, we were so good to you. But they don't remember things correctly. I'm just telling you, I was afraid of the dark. I heard a story when I was a kid and I thought, man, this is me. A little boy was told by his mother to go out on the porch and get the broom. He said, Mom, it's dark out there. She said, honey, Jesus is with you. It'll be all right. He walked over to the door, opened it just a little bit and said, hey, Jesus, hand me the broom. Amen. That's me. And I'll tell you, I was afraid of the dark when I was a kid. I'm not afraid anymore. I got married. Miss Pam's there to protect me. I'm just kidding. But man, I was afraid of the dark when I was a kid. But can I tell you something? We don't have to live in fear.
That's right.
Let me give you the second thought here, and that is the challenge of fear. If I yield to fear, it's going to distract our focus.
Right.
Man, you get around some people, even Christians, they're so negative. They're so caught up in what's going on in the world, man. You can tell them, hey, let me tell you what God did for me. Well, yeah, I know that's good, but let me tell you what's happening. Well, you can't even enjoy one moment of living for Jesus without them bringing up some hopeless despair. Can I tell you something? I want to remind you, we are on the winning side. I'm not talking about just being positive without any common sense, but I'm telling you, we're going to live as long as God lives. If you're saved, heaven's your home, and you are on the winning side, and it'll distract our focus. If I live every moment in fear, I'm going to be focused on that issue or that problem instead of focusing on the one who loved us and gave himself for us. I won't be here next Sunday, but boy, if you're here next Sunday, you're going to hear a good lesson. You say, how do you know? Because I like the one I heard today about Jesus being my friend. I've never been able to find him not faithful in being my friend. But boy, next week we're going to be hearing about, are you his friend? Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? Jesus gave us some information. I won't even touch it, so it'll be taught on next week. But I'll tell you, I'm glad he's my friend, but I want to be a friend to him. And you know, what kind of a friend would it be if every time he's trying to show me good things from his book and I just keep saying, oh, it's just hopeless, Lord. There's just nothing good going to happen. Hey, listen, God's still on the throne. He's still working in hearts and lives today. But it distracts our focus. But not only that, it dominates our feelings. If I'm living in fear, listen, dear friend, that's a great, great danger for the child of God to just live in fear. And God wants us to be more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. And then not only that, it demeans our faith. You ever think about what the unsaved world thinks when you and I, as God's children, respond to things just like they do? Folks, listen, our faith ought to shine bright in the darkness of this world. Every one of us will go through trials. We'll go through testings. We'll go through heartaches. We'll face things. Listen, just because you're saved doesn't mean you won't have to face any challenges in life. But Pastor said it well. Listen, when I do face those things in life, I know this because he's my friend. Listen, I can depend on him. I can trust him. I don't know how people go through things if they don't know the Lord. I preached my first funeral. I assisted my dad in a funeral once, but I preached the first funeral all by myself for a man that was 86 years of age. And I talked to his family and I asked him, you know, hey, was your dad a Christian? And they said, no, Dad never saw any need to become a Christian, but he lived a pretty good life. He lived 86 years. Can I tell you, that doesn't mean anything if you die without Christ. You know, it was a hard funeral to preach. I mean, all you can do is preach to the living. I couldn't do anything to help that man. You know, I preached the funeral of my brother and my sister and my parents. And yes, I sorrowed, but not as others which have no hope. Well, listen, I could preach their funerals and yet find the joy of the Lord to be my strength in the midst of that, because I know that they knew the Lord. And to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. What a difference it is when you're a child of God, when you know the Lord and Christ lives in your heart. It makes all the difference in the world. Then notice big number three. Not only the cause of fear and the challenge from fear, but how do we conquer our fear? Well, let's talk about that for just a moment. Now, here's the reality. Psalms 56:3, my wife said when she was a little girl, her mother encouraged her to memorize this verse. And it's a very, very short verse, but a powerful one. Psalm 56:3, the Bible said this in Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. We'll say that again. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So it's like the psalmist is saying, there will be times when fear will come. And yet David said, I don't have to fear the enemy. Here he is dealing with a situation in verse 1. He said this, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then he said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. So really the secret or the key to being able to overcome our fear, quite simply, is though it is true that there are going to be times when fear will spring up in our heart, we can trust the Lord. The songwriter said, I can trust Jesus. I don't have to just trust him for salvation. I can trust him through every storm that I face in life, every trial, every testing, every heartache, every burden as his child. I don't have to live in fear of what's going on because he's faithful. And so the psalmist reminds us there are times when we will face things that will cause our hearts to fear, but we don't have to live in fear. But notice not only the reality, but the reminder. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse number 7, a verse you're familiar with, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. And this is another great verse for memory. I mentioned Psalm 56:3, what time I'm afraid I will trust in thee. Well, how about 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7? The Bible said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when I'm living my life with the spirit of fear, guess what? I'm not living in the level God intended for me to live in. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now, there's a right kind of fear. You know, in the Bible talks about the right kind and the wrong kind of fear, and that's a sermon for another day. But I don't have to fear what man can do unto me. I don't have to fear the what ifs. You know, there are some people that spend so much of their time worrying about everything, they can't even enjoy today. I mean, not even worrying about something that did happen. They're worrying about what they're going to do if something does happen that hasn't happened. Just in case it happens, they decide to worry ahead of time. I drove by a church on my way to go hunting one day, and they had a sign. I always like to read church signs, and I know what they meant, and I'm not being critical. But I did get a little laugh out of it, because sometimes it's where you put the pause in things. And their sign said, "Don't let worry kill you. Let us help." I know what they meant. I think I know what they meant. But the truth of the matter is, why worry when I can pray? The songwriter said, trust Jesus, he'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas, trust fully in his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? But let's be honest, sometimes we are more experts at worrying than we are praying. But I can trust Jesus. I can tell him the burdens of my heart. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But notice something else the psalmist says here as we begin to go through chapter 27. He's reminding us of some things here. Not only the reality that fears will come, and you can sense in this, because he starts out very boldly saying, you know, I don't have to fear man. But then there's a little hint that maybe there's a little bit of fear creeping up inside of David. And so when it does, he rapidly runs back to the Lord. I'm so glad God understands our framework. I'm glad that God knows what we're made of. He knows our frailties. He knows our failures. He knows our faults. And he reminds us so often we don't have to live with the spirit of fear, but we can live with the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. And God desires for us to have that. But notice here, not only the reality, but the reminder of what God will do for us, but then the rejoicing. Look at verse number 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You know, the psalmist said, God's going to lift up my head. That's a great phrase in the Word of God, the lifter up of my head. In other words, God can literally perk you up in the midst of problems. He can literally cheer your heart when everything's upside down. He can be the lifter up of your head and of your heart. And the psalmist said, as a result of that, he said, I'll be rejoicing. You see, you and I as God's people ought to be the happiest people on planet Earth. You're going to live as long as God lives. And I understand we have the joy of the Lord, and that doesn't mean that we have to walk around with a phony smile all day long. But you know, we ought to be different. I mean, we are his children. And there ought to be a happy thought. Boy, didn't you enjoy the choir this morning? And I love to hear God's people sing. I love to hear good choir music, and that was a good one. I love to hear congregational singing. I'll tell you, good congregational singing and songs that speak to your heart. Every verse, man, there's something in there just feed your soul. And listen, rejoicing in the Lord is not some kind of a out of bounds, insane, carrying on, but it is a true, really reflection of the heart towards a God who's been so good and faithful and true to us. And the psalmist said, I'll tell you, God comes along when the enemy's trying to attack me. He lifts up my head. He lifts up my heart. And he said, I'll rejoice. He says, matter of fact, I'll sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I don't know about you, but God's put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. But you know what the psalmist said? Many shall see it, not just hear it, but see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Now, you may not be a singer in the sense of being asked to do a solo. You may not be a singer and feel comfortable singing in the choir. We always had a wonderful choir at our home church. And we weren't restrictive. We didn't say if you weren't a great singer, you couldn't be in the choir. And I'm not being critical, but we had one lady, it didn't matter where I sat on the platform, she always seemed to land right behind me. And she wasn't the strongest singer in the choir. Well, she was the strongest. She wasn't the... Anyway. But you know what? She loved God. She, and I'm not being critical, without a doubt, that lady probably dealt with more adversity than anybody else in our church. She probably had more struggles physically than anybody in our church, financially than anybody in our church. I'm not being critical. Her husband would bring her to church, but he wouldn't pick her up. So somebody always had to take her home. She lived about 11, 12 miles away from the church up in the mountains, and somebody would have to take her home, and she lived in a pretty rough area. But I'll tell you what, she loved Jesus. And if our family happened to be the ones taking her home, I guarantee we were going to get a singing concert before we got to her house because she loved the Lord. You know, just something about when you love God. Just want to sing. I took one of our men out there one day. She wanted me to come visit her husband, and went out there, and I couldn't find him. She said, he took off. He knows you're coming. And so I said to my friend that was with me, I said, well, when we first got there, I said, this is where they live. And he didn't believe me. I said, no, this is where they live. And I said, you look up in the trees. I'll look in the back of some of these old cars, see if we can find him. Sure enough, I saw a trunk open just a little bit. Went over and opened the trunk lid. I said, hey, what are you doing? He said, oh, I was looking for something. I said, man, get out of there. I come to talk to you, And so I visited with him a little bit. But when we got to their house, she had a refrigerator. And it was on the outside of the house. And their little place, dirt floor, just some blocks of wood to walk on. Two rooms, a bedroom and a living room. That refrigerator on the outside, but it worked. And I'm not being critical, but it was like one of those refrigerators you saw back in the 50s. But it worked. And she said, preacher, God's been so good. Look at my refrigerator. Isn't it so nice? And boy, she just starts praising God. And I'm thinking, you know, we have no reason not to praise God. God's been good to us. And yet sometimes we get so focused on one issue, one item in our life, and miss the reality of how good God is. The psalmist starts rejoicing in the Lord. How could he rejoice? Well, first of all, he had confidence in the Lord. Verse 3, David said this, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. You know, I think one of the reasons we get caught up in fear is because our confidence is in the wrong things. I can't trust my flesh. This flesh is an enemy to me. I need to trust something more powerful than my flesh. The psalmist said, I'm confident in the Lord. And listen, I cannot always put my confidence in self or man, but I can always put my confidence in the Lord. And David said, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, inquire in His temple. In verse 8, he said, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So here we find David, he had confidence in the Lord, but he had communion with the Lord. David said, you know, Lord, when you said to me, seek ye my face, he said, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I love the way it was mentioned in Sunday school. It's not like the Lord is sitting beside us physically, but He's here. And I'm glad that I can fellowship with Him. That I can communicate with Him. That I can talk with the Lord. And David said here, I've enjoyed a communion with the Lord. The songwriter said He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. David said, I have confidence in the Lord. I have communion with the Lord. But then he said, I enjoy the compassion of the Lord. Look at verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. David said, God has had compassion on me. Now, I don't understand. I mean this. I don't understand God, how that He could love us so much. I mean, considering the fact that we fail Him often, but He never fails us. Considering that we're often less than we ought to be, He's never less than what He said He would be. And the psalmist said, it's like if everybody forsakes me. And listen, in human relationships, he said, if my mother and my father forsake me, yet the Lord, he said, will not forsake me. The Lord will take me up. What a promise David felt in his compassion from the Lord. And then he experienced the comfort of the Lord. In verse 13, I had fainted. Humanly speaking, the adversities of life can often overwhelm us. I saw a picture this week of a boy that if he was living, he would have turned, I think, 65, if I remember right, or 60-something in the picture his mother had posted. But I remember when he was killed in an accident. When he was just a boy. As a matter of fact, it was the worst single car accident in America that year. There were 16 in the vehicle. A grandfather was taking some of his grandkids and some other young people. Several of them were a part of a new church we had started, but some of the family was of another denomination. But they'd gotten together to go skating, and crossing that railroad track, the train hit them, and 12 of the 16 in the vehicle were killed. Four were lived with some injuries. And I remember their son was one that died. That grandfather and six of his grandchildren were killed in that accident. Well, what a horrible, horrible accident. But here's this family all these years later, still serving God. How could that be? Because they knew that even though that heartache and sorrow came, the Lord didn't forsake them. And they would have fainted. I mean, it'd been overwhelming to have to say goodbye to your child if you didn't know that the Lord was there to meet that need. I'd fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The psalmist found comfort in the Lord. You know, if you're a child of God, let me say today, there's no need to fear. I don't know all that the future holds, but as the songwriter said, I know who holds the future. There's no reason for anybody to live in fear unless you're not saved. Now, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, then you have a reason to be afraid. Let me read you a verse of Scripture out of Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. The Bible said in Matthew 10 and verse number 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You know, if you're lost today, you die without Christ, there isn't a second chance. There isn't a reprieve. You don't get to come back and try it over again. What you do with Christ in this life settles for eternity. And if you're not saved today, listen, you need to realize you're but a step away. David said, there's but a step between me and death. And the truth of the matter is, if you're lost in just a moment, it could be over. And if you die without Christ, you have to spend eternity separated from him in a place called hell. The Bible said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. But the good news is, you don't have to go there. You can get saved by the grace of God. You can come realizing that you're a sinner. The Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible makes it clear that we're all sinners. But that's not enough. If you know you're a sinner, that's not enough to take you to heaven. Then Jesus is the Savior that died on the cross and shed His blood in payment for your sins, was buried and rose again. And knowing that Christ is the Savior, that's not enough to take you to heaven. You got to be willing to receive Him into your heart. You need to be willing to repent of your sins and come to Christ for salvation and trusting in Him alone. And He will give you the gift of everlasting life. But you must be saved by the grace of God. But if you're a saved child of God, we don't have to live in fear of what tomorrow holds or what we're going to face. Can we get through it? Of course we can. If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed.